and welcome to Geek History Lesson. I'm Jason Justice Inman.
And I'm Ashley Victoria Robinson. Welcome to your Mind University, because you have stumbled onto the podcast where we take one character, construct, or super team from popular culture and teach you everything you need to know about them in about an hour. But this week, we're doing something for justice. What are we doing, Jason?
Well, you see, you know, listeners of this podcast know of a Mr. Jeremy Skinner, and they know of a podcast that Mr. Jeremy Skinner and I host called Jason and Jeremy John About Justice League. It is on our Patreon. We are currently halfway through the second season of the Justice League animated series. And you know, we are trucking right through. We're having a great time. We just did the Justice Lords episode. We did the Eclipso episode. We did all these kind of things. We're going to have a very interesting conversation about, you know, the late great Kevin Conroy. And, you know, this year, start out 2023, we thought we would share a very special episode of Justice Pod, just in case you haven't listened to it, in case you haven't come over to our Patreon. All the episodes are over at patreon.com/Jawin, J-A-W-I-I-N. And this is not an advertisement for the Patreon. No. We just want to say they're all there. There's a lot of episodes over there. There's like all the 26 episodes of season one. And now I think there's like 15 more on top.
I was going to say, you have to be closing in on 50.
We're getting close. We're getting very close. We're trucking into the end of season two very quickly. But we wanted to share this one in terms of 2023, because it's very special, because this episode of Jason, Jeremy, and John About Justice League that we're going to share to all the GHL listeners is on episode season two of Justice League, episode one, Eclipse. And we're sharing that because we have a very special guest star. And Ashley, I believe you know who that guest star is.
I do. It's me. I am guest star. I am guest star on podcast.
You are guest star like Dexter or the Red Lanterns?
Yes. If I were to be a lantern, Dexter would be one of the top. In my choices.
Of Sector 77 meow?
Yeah, sure. I have no idea. But I'm on this Justice Pod episode. It's my debut. I had to wait an entire season to get on. It's not an easy slot to secure, my friends.
I also will say, if you're a little worried that you're like, well, what if I didn't see Justice League season one?
What about continuity, Jason?
It's, look, every Justice League episode is pretty continuity free.
Absolutely.
They all start. So this is a perfect episode. Listen to it all. You're going to really enjoy it. I actually think it's like one of the funniest things we've recorded about Justice League stuff and DC Comics stuff in a long time. It's really, really funny. And if you really enjoy it, then go listen to part two over our Patreon. And then you can keep on trucking through season two.
Go listen to the 45 other episodes.
Yeah, we'll be like 75 episodes past you by the time you get over there. But yeah, patreon.com/
the episode with Susan Eisenberg.
Jawin, J-A-W. We did interview Susan Eisenberg on the Patreon. You can only hear that over there. You can't hear that on the feed. The only thing you hear in the feed is season two, episode one, Eclipse. What? Do you feel like the Justice League podcast has eclipsed Geek History Lessons?
Do I feel like my talent eclipsed you and Jeremy combined on this episode? Oh,
that's pretty dirty.
That's so rude.
That's pretty low. Okay. So let's suit up. Let's raise our attitudes, because they were beat down.
This is why they didn't have me back, because I didn't bring a very super toot to the pod.
Our attitudes, because they were beat down, like Darkseid's going to be beat down. Yeah, spoilers, Darkseid's in this episode. Ooh. Suit up, form a league, and get your butts to the Watchtower, and enjoy this episode. All of you, happy 2023. Enjoy this episode, Jason and Jeremy, John About Justice League, Eclipse. Part, not two, part one.
Hi, I'm Susan Eisenberg, and I played Wonder Woman on Justice League, and you're listening to Jason and Jeremy Jawing About Justice League.
And welcome to Jason and Jeremy John About Justice League. I'm Jason.
And I'm Jeremy.
This is the podcast where two friends who are also nerds talk about each episode of Justice League, the animated series. Now in season two, we give you our thoughts, our insights, lots of nerdy tangents on a cartoon about DC superheroes. Except today, it's not just two friends on this podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, let's back this up. Jeremy, I need to take two on that, please.
Take two.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome a very special guest, the co-host of the Geek History Lesson podcast, the people the person that people actually come to that podcast for, our special guest is Ashley Victoria Robinson. Ashley, hello.
And yay. I'm Ashley. The visceral response to want to say that along with you is frightening.
Tell you what, Ashley, episode 2, just do it. Jump in there.
Yeah, great. Yeah. Amazing.
So yeah.
That is 100%. Ashley, thank you so much for coming. It's, you know, we got to talk a little bit. We're going to get to some stuff real quick, but we're going to talk to Ashley about the podcast.
Yeah, the commute was really hard today.
Yes. And but real quick, before we get too deep into that, Jeremy, what is today's episode?
Today's episode is Twilight Part 1, a.k.a. Twilight of the Gods. We'll talk about that later. It originally aired on July 5th, 2003. Darkseid convinces the League to help him stop Brainiac from destroying his planet of Apocalypse.
Yes. All right. Now we're going to talk to Ashley. Hey, Ashley. How's it going?
Hi. Good.
We had to do the synopsis. I know the listeners were getting mad.
I'm a listener. I wasn't mad.
Yeah. Okay, so this is what I want to talk about. All right. Listeners, you know, I co-host Geek History Lesson with Ashley Victoria Robinson. It's super awesome. I do.
To say nothing of Jason and Ashley's Excellent Adventures.
Yes.
My favorite Jawin podcast, personally.
And all these old reviews and movie reviews and Marvel movie reviews and Collider videos and all these things. But this is, you know, the first podcast since 2015 that I have done without you. So it's kind of strange. It was Jeremy. There was a little bit of a learning curve.
Yeah.
I felt like I was flying without a parachute. Didn't have a parachute.
Am I your parachute? I'm small.
Sort of. Jeremy's a different kind of parachute. I actually think that neither one of you would support my body weight and I would die.
You're very tall.
Ashley, it's so funny. When we started Jason and Jeremy and John about Justice League, you know, a little bit into it, a couple episodes into it. And I would always go out to Ashley and be like, that's a good one. That's an okay one. No, that's the best one.
Mm-hmm.
And I
don't
remember,
act like you've stopped doing that, by the way.
No.
I get all the updates.
But then Ashley, at one point, chimed in and said, oh, yeah, I remember that. And it immediately dawned to me that Ashley listens to this podcast. And I had never considered that.
Also, I get it for free.
I knew she listened just because she comments on the Discord sometimes.
Yes, that's true. That's true. And because of that fact, ladies and gentlemen, I have prepared a most wonderful surprise.
Is it a new sound effect?
It is a brand new sound effect.
I knew it.
Yep. Yep. I called up my buddy Hans.
Zimmer?
No. Hans Frankenstein.
Okay.
Hans.
Your personal friend, Hans.
Hans also is a composer out here.
Like, and all, oh, no, he's a, never mind.
Yeah.
I was going to say Hans Christian Andersen.
You know,
kind of creative.
You know the show Lost?
Yes.
Yes. Well, Hans worked on Found, the spinoff.
Okay.
Yeah.
The one where Joey moves to Los Angeles, right?
Correct.
Yeah. Not Joey.
Yeah. And marries Maris, yes.
Oh. Wow, good pulls.
He gathered the biggest orchestra he could find.
Okay.
Which was three people and a puppy. And he put together what I think might be the best sound effect I've ever heard. So here we go. Ashley, this is for you.
Oh, wow. I thought you were punking me and I thought you were going to play the same sound effect.
That is the same sound effect.
No, it's not that. But no, because I mean, I thought you were going to play the Green Lantern Ring sound effect.
Oh, we only have one sound effect. What are you talking about?
And it's Wusho 4.
Yeah, Wusho 4.
I know. Ram, shout out to Ram, corrected my meme that I made.
All right. Ashley, real quick, let's get to your meet cute on Justice League. When, before watching this episode with me the other day, before in preparation of this podcast, when did you first watch Justice League, the animated series?
So I kind of have two answers to this. Would you like the first time I ever watched it or the first time I like sat down to watch the series?
I want to hear both.
Yeah, I think so.
So the Batman and Justice League cartoons came over a little bit later in Canada. I got them in like Batman in 95 and 96.
Okay.
So for me, Justice League is very much like a hard early mid-aughts series.
All right.
So I was an actual child and it would come on Saturday mornings after either Batman the Animated Series or Batman Adventures, but I didn't like most of the characters in the Justice League.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Do you remember why?
Because I've talked about this a little bit on Geek History Lesson. When I first started reading comics, I didn't like how big the worlds were. So for a long time for me, DC was only the Bat family and Marvel was only the X-Men. I like could not deal with any other mythologies crossing over. So I just didn't like Superman and I didn't like Wonder Woman and I didn't like Martian Man. So if it was like a Batman heavy episode from the beginning, I would stick around. Then
wow. Only Batman.
Well, I only liked the Batman.
Yeah, wow.
Or Batman family characters. Wow. Yeah, yeah. And so then when I was in university, I became friends with these two twins named Jamie and John Champagne, who Jason knows. Mm-hmm. And if you watched the Amazon series Wayne, they're the twins in Wayne. They really liked Justice League and they had it all on DVD. So they made me watch it with them in order for the first time. So those are my two stories of how I watched Justice League, or my meet cutes for Justice League.
I will be very interested to hear your thoughts on Batman's characterization in this episode.
Oh, he's specifically a real bag of dicks.
Okay. Guess we didn't have to wait that far.
It's
you can just point it out every time it happens now.
That's right. But it's very canon for Batman at the time, because this is the height of Super Dick Batman.
Yeah.
Publication history.
Yes. Yes, it is.
I feel in some ways there's kind of a role reversal between Batman and Superman in this episode.
There are.
So, I'll highlight those as they
I might also say that that's probably intentional, but we can say so. That yeah. First guys, season two, Jeremy,
coming in hard.
Season two, take three.
Yeah. Thank you. So before we get into that main episode, we have to answer what, Ashley?
I'm not doing all your sound effects for you.
Oh, I wanted her to do the questions from the Super Friends.
Okay, hang on.
Jeremy, we need to take four.
All right, take four.
Thank you.
Questions from the Super Friends.
I love that energy.
If you blow the first take, you got to come hard.
That's right.
We got so many questions. It really deserves that energy, I feel like.
Everybody out there, of course, you know, these questions come from patreon.com/Jawin, J-A-W-I-I-N. You know, there's a post we put up there every month. And then also at jasonandjeremypod@gmail.com. Jeremy, let's jump into the back of the cargo netting of the Javelin and read some of these questions.
Absolutely. All right. We're going to start with Diego Nunez. He has two questions. And the first one is a question directly for Ashley.
Woo! I'm very special.
Wait. The alarms
questions
are going off.
The Super
It's a long alarm.
How long is that sound effect? Jason,
that's your ringtone when you call me now, is the whoosh effect over and over, by the way.
Are you serious?
No, absolutely. That's what comes up. Get a text tone, but my phone won't let it be a text tone, but it did let me make it a ringtone. So,
wow.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about doing that.
I want a video of that call happening.
Oh, yeah, we can make that happen. We can FaceTime from my computer later, and then you can call me on the phone.
All right. So, Ashley,
mm-hmm.
What's your answer? What's your?
Oh, I didn't ask the question.
I don't know what the question is.
Sorry.
I went on a tangent. Ashley, who is your Justice League / superhero crush from the show?
Oh, that's so funny. Oh, Jason messed with the soundboard again.
It's fine.
Probably from the show.
Where else? Oh, you mean you would have a different answer?
Don't forget, you're allowed to say snap or car.
I don't think so.
How dare you?
Where do you fall down on snap or car, Ashley, in the Justice League animated series?
I actually think he kind of only works in the Justice League animated series. Oh, I think he's an okay addition.
You heard it here, folks. Supercar works. She said it.
But only within the context of the animated series.
Fair enough. I just meant
because if I was able to consider something like Batman the animated series or Batman Beyond, that would change my answer from the regular series. I would say that my crush was probably Jon Stewart. I think
solid answer.
He is Jon Stewart. One always, always hot, and then extra hot because he's a good guy. but I think he is the most striking in the Bruce Timm house style.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna give it to John.
I think he gets hotter when he goes Cisco.
A hard agree. Unlimited. Absolutely.
Like, it works.
All right, Jeremy, what's the next question?
All right. It's crazy to me that the first couple of episodes this season involve the New Gods, Darkseid, and Brainiac. It feels like the plot of a movie. What are your thoughts on the show having the big bombastic opening episodes? Do you think it has an adverse effect where the season may have exhausted itself with its big blockbuster ideas, or do you still find them engaging?
Interesting. I don't mind the show having big bombastic opening episodes. I mean, it's hard to judge it at this point because we only know season one at this point. We don't know season two yet, or we don't know season three. So we basically have to judge this off of the pilot. And of course, the pilot's going to be big and bombastic. I mean, I wonder if Diego is sort of hitting on the idea that it's kind of hard to top fighting the biggest, baddest villain of the DC universe in your opener for season two. Like it's like you cannot top Darkseid.
It gives me big vibes of we didn't think we were maybe going to get this far, ever going to have a season two. And now they've given us a season two, we're doing all of the big, dumb comic book stuff that they wouldn't let us do in season one.
Yeah,
I think there's an element of that. There is a commentary on part two of this. I listened to it and they actually talked about that a little bit. It was apparently a pitch from friend of the pod, Rich Fogel.
Oh, yes.
Hey.
It's his script for this episode. They kind of got on board with it because they sort of felt like they had done everything that they could do with Darkseid in Superman, the animated series. So that was kind of what sold them on it a little bit.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah. Me personally, I think the big opening episodes work. And I can't limit myself on this answer to just looking at season one. Like looking at the overall scope of the show, I think those work. And I don't think it has an adverse season effect on season two at all. I think there are a couple of really simple, like the next episode, for instance, isn't necessarily like a, you know, big cosmic, you know, interstellar event or whatever. It's a like kind of a localized, smaller story. And it absolutely works. This show doesn't necessarily rely on those things. So I feel like it opens and closes with them really well, you know, and then gets to meander in the middle.
Nice. All right. Well, Peter Bunner Finch Productions asks, looking towards Justice League Unlimited, do you think the series would have been stronger if there had been a more gradual transition to the JLU sized league? That's, you know, the league with like 40 people in it.
Yeah.
Or do you prefer sticking with a team of seven? I love season two of Justice League, but I am curious what a slower build to JLU could have looked like. Jeremy, you're the big Justice League Unlimited proponent in the room. What do you think about this? I had something I never thought of, but it's an interesting proposition.
Yeah. So I don't think that I want it because I think season two works really, really well overall for what it is.
Mm-hmm.
I like the transition because the decision to expand the lead happens after crucial events, you know? So I'm sort of okay with that. If I were going to try to have my cake and eat it too, though, I would have introduced some Unlimited members in standalone episodes before, not have them join the league, but have them, you know, meet and interact with, you know, like give me a Green Arrow episode in season two. If I were going to do it, I would do stuff like that. You know,
you mean when Justice League got good?
This is when this show got good, but
no,
I mean,
no, it, I know I'm the joke is after, Green, with after Unlimited. Green Arrow.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it was good before, but it's next level on Unlimited for me. Yes.
I kind of agree with you, Jeremy. I like the team of seven. They're always my favorites. And that's why I'm throwing out this prediction right now that I think season two of Justice League is going to be my favorite season because I remember it being my favorite season because it is the seven. And I love the seven. And I like that idea of not a, I like a smaller, I like the Justice League being a strike team.
Yeah.
You know, they're a league. That seems small to me. You know, what Justice League becomes to me is a battalion.
Mr. Military Guy. That's what I'm saying. The Justice Battalion is a good title, though.
They're a little bit more like a police force by the time they're Unlimited. You know, I mean, you get the sense that they are like actively patrolling the whole planet all the time. You know, whereas here at this stage still, they're dealing with threats as they pop up. that mm-hmm. no one else can mm-hmm. handle.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Okay. So I wanted to throw this out to both of you that based on Peter Butterfinch's question, if you could add one person that is in Justice League Unlimited or one person that's not in Justice League Unlimited to the team in season two with this cast, who would you throw on there? Ashley?
That's a hard question. Booster Gold.
Oh, interesting. Why Booster Ooh. Gold?
Booster Gold makes everything better. And he
okay.
He's love my
show's version of him.
He, in my opinion, he's my favorite thing about any Justice League story ever is Booster Gold. So I'd just be like, I don't know. He looks cool in the costume. Booster Gold. Let's have Batman yell at someone else for a change.
All right. Jeremy, who would you add? You can add one person to the season two cast. Who do you add?
I think my answer, I think I gave this answer to a similar question somewhere in season one, but I really would have liked to have seen this show's version of Cyborg. Mm. I know this predates him actually being a league member as far as anyone is concerned, but I looking back at it now, I would be interested in that.
That is an interesting choice. Wow. Yeah. See, my pick was going to be Black Canary.
Oh, I didn't think about
because Black I Canary. Want to add another non-powered member to the team since it's only Batman.
Borderline Canary Cry.
Well, that's true. I'm sorry. And I also just wanted to add another woman to the team because I think there are some episodes in season two, especially with Hot Girl's betrayal. Excuse me. Sorry. You know, it's coming.
Wow.
Sorry. Big spoilers there.
We've talked about it vaguely. Okay. We're all right.
I felt really bad there. I'm sorry.
No. Don't feel bad. I'm giving you a hard time.
I also feel like it's one of the top five things people know about this series.
Yeah.
Well, all right.
You know what? Actually, send me an email or comment on the Discord when you hear this. Have you seen all of this show? Or are you doing this for the first time with us? Let us know. Let me get a head count.
I would imagine. So anyways, you don't know how it's going to happen, everybody. If you, I'm sorry. I feel bad about that.
No.
I just think another woman would add a lot of dimension to the team, would give it gives Batman an ally, gives Wonder Woman an ally. And I just like Dinah.
Is Vanessa Marshall the voice of Black Canary in this?
I don't know.
What's her name? Monera Baccarin? Monera? How do you pronounce it?
Oh, Morena Baccarin?
Yes.
There we go.
Oh, from Firefly.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
I'm 95% sure on that.
Interesting.
Someone's screaming it in their phone somewhere.
Yeah, that's fine. It's
I'm pretty sure I'm right.
Okay, so our next question comes from Andrew, who says, how do you feel about the way Superman is portrayed in these episodes? It's one of the few times we have ever seen him so full of contempt and how he butts heads with Batman. Now, I don't want to get too far into this because I think we're going to talk about it a lot in the episode.
Absolutely.
But, you know, it's so funny. My very immediate thought, because I forgot this was a Superman gets angry episode. My very first thought was, wow, all the people that complain about Superman being angry in Man of Steel and the Snyder films.
Oh, they're all running. You said it. They're all running to you from across the internet. All the associate producers.
This one, he's very angry in this. He is so damn angry in this.
Yeah. He's kind of what Jeremy was alluding to earlier.
He's a smart alecky. Mofo.
He's sassy. He is downright sassy at points in this episode.
I have a theory for why he is, but I want to save it. I have a theory for why. And if I don't remember to tell you, please ask me why. But I wrote down a reason why I think he's.
I think it'll come up.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Jeremy, what's the next?
We got a question from David A. Skelton here, who says, do you ever notice how many times Wonder Woman loses her lasso or how it seemingly does nothing? Is this another nerf factor, Jeremy? No, it's not.
Nerf factor.
Thank you. No, that is not a nerf factor. If anything, it is empowered that lasso, I would say, because it just, in this episode, it gets ripped off of the creature that attacks Wonder Woman. And there's a snapping sound effect, like it breaks and it is just cast to the ground, and they carry Wonder Woman away. And that lasso just reappears on her waist later on, like it's Thor's hammer, except she didn't even have to call it back or anything. So if anything, they have greatly increased the power of this lasso, I would think. And they haven't even unlocked it yet. You know, like it can't even do all the things that it will be able to do later. So I kind of think her lasso is a little bit OP.
I'll take that explanation. It works for me.
Couldn't have said it better.
Yeah, my first thought was, did she lose her lasso in this episode?
She does, absolutely. Yeah. I was going to bring it up, but yeah, there it is.
You can tell neither of you has watched Sailor Moon recently if you think weapons can't just boomerang back to you anytime.
Look, you said recently, and in my case, you meant ever.
Oh, I'm sad for you.
I've never seen it. I'm sorry.
Oh, boy.
Okay, Jason doesn't either, so you can both be wrong.
That's right. That's right. All right, let's get to this week in Justice League history. Jeremy, what was going on this week?
All right. Yes, so it is July 5th, 2003. The number one song in the country at the time was A Miss Independent by Kelly Clarkson.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I put a clip up if you want to play it, because the way we're doing this now, we won't be playing things twice in a row anymore.
Oh.
Because we flipped the second. So if you want to play a clip up, feel free.
Remind everybody how we're changing up the second season.
Yeah, so because these episodes all aired back to back on the same night, we're doing This Week in Justice League History in the first part, and we're doing Star Trek versus Justice League in the second part.
That's right. There we go. All right. I'm trying. I'm getting there, Jeremy. It's difficult.
While you're pulling that up, the number one movie in the country at the time was Terminator 3, The Rise of the Machines.
I even remember I saw that in theaters.
I did too.
I did. You know, I thought it was actually the first time I saw it. That was pretty good, you know, but here's something that's also pretty good. I remember this song.
I remember this song too.
Oh boy.
I'm going to remember almost everything that happened in 2003. Pretty sure.
All right. There.
Jeremy was like, it's the best year of my life, baby.
Oh no, this is the best year of my life, the one I'm currently having. But.
Oh. Oh, that's nice.
And it's all because of you, the listener.
This podcast is absolutely a part of it, like 100%. So yes, listeners, thank you.
Wow. Yeah. I can't wait to learn more about 2003, Jeremy.
This is my senior year of high school.
All right. Interesting. Yeah,
this episode aired this summer before my senior year started.
So. Oh, wow.
And then this episode is the only one that airs in the summer. So next week or next month, we're going to jump to October. And then this show will run uninterrupted through the rest of the year, except for the finale, which will then jump to the summer of 2004. So that's what you have to look forward to in terms of the timeline this season.
Jeremy, the way you said that.
The way you had that knowledge at the ready.
The way you said that, I somehow thought that this podcast recording that we are recording live somehow was a podcast that I was listening to. And then my brain said, then the dial flipped. How is this a dial flip on a podcast? And somehow I had tuned into some bonkers podcast where someone is reading the TV guide listings of 2003. And I thought I was going out of my mind.
I will say this. I have all this knowledge at the ready, because when I look at the cast and figure out who we're going to spotlight, I'm trying to pick people where it might be their last appearance and they'll never come back. So I'm looking ahead at what happens, you know? So
all right.
I have done a fair amount of research on this.
Yeah. You've truly done at least 10 times as much as I did based on that sentence alone.
All right, Jeremy, let's get to the who's who in the DCAU.
Oh, yes. All right. So this episode was directed by Dan Reva, and it was written by Rich Fogel and Bruce Timm. Bruce Timm came in and did a last minute pass on the episode. He talks about it in the commentary a little bit, and I will bring that up later as it's relevant. This episode features Renee Auberjonois as Desaad and as Steppenwolf, Corey Burton as Brainiac and Forager, Michael Dorn as Kalibak. There are two Star Trek people in this episode. Michael Ironside as Darkseid. Oh, I kind of never noticed the side thing. I never thought about that before right now. Anyway, he's who we're going to spotlight today. Rob Paulsen as Lightray and a uncredited helmsman role. Ron Perlman, Hellboy himself as Orion. And Mitchell Ryan as Highfather. And he's who we will spotlight next time. But before we get into the spotlight, Jason.
Yes.
Flash and Green Lantern are not present for this episode. We have the rest of the league. So it's time for Where Were They? That's what that segment's called.
We have a new segment?
This is a new segment. We've done this all the time.
It's new to me.
Remember, we try to come up with pitches for what we think Flash and Green Lantern were doing, why they missed this battle.
Fair. Should we give it to our special guest?
Oh, yes. Ashley, I would love to hear yours.
Flash and Green Lantern.
Why are they not in this episode? What are they doing?
They don't have to be doing the same thing. They can be doing their own things.
I'm going to say because they're on a date and this was the mid 2000s. So they're trying to be DL because it's lame.
Good answer.
So they're off smooching somewhere.
I think Jon Stewart is running a marathon. And I think Wally West, of course, a veterans marathon. So he has to be there to raise the money. And Wally, I think he'd always watched Dawson's Creek live and he's said, hell no, I'm not coming.
He really loved Pacey.
Yep. He was a big fan of the WB at the time.
Everybody loved Pacey, to be fair.
Yep.
So. Yes.
Yep.
I'm going to say that Flash was out securing his Lightspeed Bar contract, probably shooting commercials for it that are going to air later. Green Lantern, I think I'm going to say that Green Lantern is off planet, but he's dealing with something incredibly mundane. Like all of this Darkseid Brainiac business happens very, very quickly. Like he shows up in the Watchtower, they have a fight, and then they go to Apocalypse. So they didn't even bother calling him. He doesn't even realize that there's anything major happening, you know? And he's just like helping clean up after a flood on some planet. Like it's good work, but it's not terribly exciting.
I like how Jeremy thinks a flood is mundane.
I mean, it is in the scope of like, Green Lantern duties.
Yes, that's fair. That's fair. All right, let's get to the spotlight.
Punchy.
I'm very excited for the spotlight on Michael Ironside. I can't even get as close to his voice.
Michael Iron.
No. Shut up, you fool. Like, I can't do it. Can't do it.
It is death.
Nope. I can't. No, he's that good.
Ashley, let's hear your dark side.
Absolutely not.
Okay. I was pretty close, actually.
Fair enough. Okay. All right. Michael Ironside was born as Frederick Reginald Ironside on February 12th, 1950 in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. He's a Canadian.
Woo-hoo! We love it.
Ironside was a successful arm wrestler in his teenage years.
What a thing to put in your bio.
Yeah, that's great. there's no source on that or anything, but yep, he was successful apparently.
It's just his source is me. If you want to challenge me on it, I'll arm wrestle you to death.
He wouldn't even have to be that strong. He could probably just intimidate people with his voice.
Yeah, you
know? I mean, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
His initial ambition was to be a writer. At age 15, Michael wrote a play called The Shelter that won first prize in a Canada-wide university contest. He used the prize money to mount a production of this play. Ironside then attended the Ontario College of Art and studied for 3 years at the Canadian National Film Board. Ironside worked in construction as a roofer prior to embarking on an acting career. So let's talk about his DC roles and then look at his IMDb a little bit here. So Michael Ironside reprises the role of Darkseid in Harley Quinn and in the Lego DC Supervillains video game. He played General Sam Lane
on Smallville.
Yeah. Yes.
Great choice.
Yep. In like 3 episodes, I believe. And then he played Lewis Snart, Captain Cold's father, on The Flash.
I didn't know about that one.
Yeah.
One episode. So fun fact about those two things. The actress Peyton List, and there are two Peyton Lists, and I can't tell you who was in which one and who was in another one, but look it up. Peyton List played his daughter in both of those roles. She played Golden Glider on The Flash and played Lucy Lane on Smallville.
What?
So they have been father and daughter in two different DC productions.
That has to be intentional.
Isn't that wild?
That's amazing.
Has to be intentional.
Like The Flash absolutely did that intentionally. Yes, I think is how that went down.
Yeah.
It's like a shout out to Smallville.
Of course. Yeah.
He was also, this isn't a DC role. I'm scrolling through his IMDb to get to the next thing, but he was in Community too. In the what do you call it, the Law and Order episode.
We have to talk about this, I think, because Michael Ironside is an actor worthy of much song and much story, as the Vikings would say. I would love to say, ask everybody, what is your favorite Michael Ironside role or movie? Because I know mine right off the top of my head.
What is it?
Starship Troopers, because he shows up at the beginning of the movie as this like very gentle teacher. And then as when the next time you see him in the movie, it's like a couple years have passed. The war has gotten bigger and he is on the front and he is like the ultimate, like, get over the hill, you maggots, like kind of guy. And to me, that is the ultimate Michael Ironside role, because he is a Highlander, technically. He was in Highlander 2, The Quickening. But
right.
Since that movie blows, I don't count it. So his best role is Starship Troopers.
Doesn't exist.
He's dark side to me. Like, you know, I think he's very talented, but I think that's going to be the first line of the eulogy.
You think dark side? This man was dark side.
No, you just got up and you say Ironside is. I will write your eulogy, $20.
That's honestly my answer too. Like Community, I mentioned, because it is probably my favorite live action role of his, because he's very good in that episode. And that's one of my favorite episodes of that show. But yeah, he's dark side. Like, I've seen him in a bunch of other things, but like in short bursts, you know, in one episode of stuff. So this has been his biggest role for me.
All right. Interesting. Okay. So let's move into the mission briefing. Why do you laugh? Ashley just laughed.
It's the sound effect.
It's a very famous sound effect.
I know.
Did you know?
It's a Hera award-winning sound effect.
Yeah. This one won. Of all the listeners
fierce
chose, Whoosh 04 as the sound effect of the podcast.
Could you play me a little clip of their speech?
Of the Whoosh 04 speech?
Yeah.
Sure.
I heard it was moving.
Yes. It's amazing. Here it is.
I'm going to cry again. Jesus. Okay, I'm sorry. Let's do this.
Wait. Another Whoosh 04 is coming up on the stage. Wait. Oh, man. The Hollywood Reporter is going to be talking about this for weeks.
Did that Whoosh 04 just slap that other Whoosh 04?
That Whoosh 04 just Whoosh 04, Whoosh 04.
Baby's First Deadline article.
Somebody needs to take that Whoosh's award away.
You know, I think there's other Whooshes that could go before.
Okay. Yeah. Fair. All right, let's get to that mission briefing.
Yes. Okay, so we open on a space battle, and Steppenwolf is being destroyed by a fleet of vessels pursuing them, and he sends a message to Darkseid and lets him know, basically, like, hey, our plan failed. They were waiting for us. It was a trap. And Darkseid is just like, cool. Well, take as many of them with you as you can. Thanks for your years of service. And sends Steppenwolf off to die. He's killed immediately.
We have to talk about this because it's so funny in the world we live in now. Second time we're going to be talking about Zack Snyder's Justice League. You know, Bruce Timm's animation assistant, Zack Snyder, who went on to bigger and better things.
Ciarán Hinds?
No, but we are going to talk about Ciarán Hinds. We're going to talk about that now we view Steppenwolf as this like bastion villain of a movie that is very derided either way, whichever one you prefer. But the comic book Steppenwolf is this goofy,
Robin Hood looking guy. That's the comic book Steppenwolf. That's what he actually looks like.
Yeah,
it's a Jack Kirby design. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he's Fandrill.
Yeah.
Because it's a Thor ripoff.
Yeah, the new guys are a Thor ripoff.
Makes sense.
It's funny, like I remembered this being a Brainiac episode, and I kind of forgotten that this was a Fourth World episode. So to get Rene Auberjonois back as Desaad, to get these characters back that we haven't seen since Superman the Animated Series, I was really happy like the minute this episode started.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. As soon as it was Fourth World, it was going to be great. Sorry, Jeremy.
No, you're great. You're fine. I was just going to say they really start to lean into their continuity again. This season.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. It's an intentional move on their part. They talked about it on the commentary a little bit.
They
got away from it in the first season because they didn't want to like muddy the waters. But here they were like, no, we did it. Let's do it.
Yeah. We've talked about this before where they said that originally the idea between Bruce Timm and a bunch of them, they said that they wanted it to be all new villains. And the only pass they gave themselves was the Injustice Gang. That's why Luther only appears in like the Justice Gang episodes.
Yeah.
But otherwise, I believe it's like a new it's all new villains. Or villains they hadn't done on the other series. Mm-hmm, this is our first one going.
They can afford new character models. Well, yeah.
We not only get one Superman the Animated Series villain, we get two of Brainiac being in this thing as well, because Brainiac shows up very quickly here. I mean, it basically like, you know, Steppenwolf blows up and Brainiac shows up immediately.
I always think about how much Brainiac looks like Mr. Freeze.
Oh, in this version.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
He does. That design, their silhouettes are almost identical.
Like every time he pops up, I'm like, wait, is that? Oh, no, it's Brainiac. That's right. It's the Superman thing.
Also, I want to talk a little bit about. Are we jumping way ahead here, Jeremy?
We jumped ahead a little bit. Brainiac does show up very quickly, but there are some scenes before he does. So after the opening where Orion sends Steppenwolf's destroyed ship through a boom tube into a fire pit, which destroys Darkseid's palace. It's pretty radical. We get the opening theme, and then we get a scene of Hawk Girl watching some hawks.
Yeah.
What in the watchtower.
What is this? Oh, boy. I remember. I was like, what are you?
She's not even from Earth.
I know.
Yeah. This is literally meaningless.
It really implies that she has a sexual attraction to that bird. That's I'm sorry. That's what it says.
Eve.
And this is a kid's cartoon.
I didn't pick that up, but I'm not going to say it's invalid.
Well, Jeremy, you don't watch as many bird channels as I do. And I'll tell you that we have a high standard for the content on our bird channels.
I don't watch a lot of bird channels. I'm slightly familiar with Bird Law, but that's about it.
You should check it out. It's very calming. There's a lot of videos out
Listeners,
there.
Listeners, go ahead and comment what kind of birds you think Jason and Jeremy are.
Cool.
Oh,
great. I would love to hear it. Sure. I'm not going to know what it means, but I'll take it.
Yeah. Yep. I know little to nothing about birds.
But you love them.
Make me something pretty, please. Yep. I want to be a pretty bird.
Yeah, so Hawk Girl and John Jones. John Jones catches Hawk Girl basically watching Hawk porn.
I mean, to be fair, they are in a spiral formation, which flocks of birds do adopt when they're mating. So I guess you're not wrong.
Oh, see, look at that. Wow.
But the big thread of this is sort of the B story of the episode. And the big thread of this is that John Jones is constantly asking Hawk Girl, hey, but what about home? You miss home? Hey, you remember home? Like it's a new scene to just have him go, hey, have you thought about home yet? You know, I'm coming from a home. What do you think about your home? He like keeps asking this over and over.
You portraying him as like the worst beat cop in the universe is very funny.
Well, Manhunters technically are cops, so.
I know. So are Green Lanterns.
Did you use a knife on the guy? You had a knife, right?
No.
Have you seen a knife anywhere?
I mean, I could try to read your mind maybe, but like, why don't we just talk?
Or fly through you and cause you horrific bodily pain and force you to answer me.
I want you to look at this Rorschach test. What are you seeing? A knife, right? A knife, huh? You see a knife?
I think I see a home.
But that's like his method.
Yeah. This is for children, okay? They are trying to spoil what you already spoiled. They're trying to herald it.
I know. They actually do a really good job with sort of like winking at. Mm-hmm. I think they say a zeta beam. She says
so. She doesn't call it. It's a particle beam.
Yeah.
But it's supposed to be very intentional to Martian Manhunter's original comic book origin.
Oh, where he got beamed.
He was accidentally teleported to Earth. Yeah.
That's a nice wink back to that because yeah, it's a scientist turns it away. It's like, oh, this Martian.
Yes. And then dies of a heart attack immediately.
Yeah. He's like, oh.
I like you know why they changed it. I love that. I think it's great.
You populated all of the like. sprites of the Justice League animated universe as like old women clutching their pearls.
Basically. So we go back to, I think, Brainiac showing up on Apocalypse, right, Jeremy?
Yeah, yeah. Darkseid kills Desaad real quick because Desaad dared to question his actions.
Oh, I mean,
that plan
honestly,
totally didn't work.
Just like kill Desaad because he's the worst. He's yeah. the devil. He sucks. Just, I was so gratified that he died.
Yeah. Somebody who's not the worst is Kalibak.
Oh, you love
the beautiful lion beastie boy of Darkseid, and I love in this episode that we get a slight hint of. What Darkseid is like to have as a dad. You get some fatherly advice here. Here's a clip of Darkseid giving some amazing father's take note. Jeremy, you are father. Take note.
Yeah, okay. Right,
think about saying this to your son.
Sure.
All right. Kalibak has to run a bit.
Father, did you see?
Be still, you fool. I'm not blind.
Be still, you fool. I'm not blind.
Yeah, no, I should totally say that to Flash.
Like, he's just, little Kalibak is just like, hey, look, I saw the thing. And he's like, shut up. It's basically shut up in sort of a Shakespearean language.
In Fourth Worldian?
Yes, which is basically Shakespearean. So. All right, so what happens next, Jeremy?
Yeah, so Brainiac shows up. And then we don't know that it's Brainiac yet, but it's Brainiac.
How obvious do you think this was? Do you think
I thought it was Mr. Freeze? I didn't think it was that obvious.
I knew what it was.
No, I knew what it was. I mean,
it's the same ship design from Superman, the animated series, just slightly updated.
Yeah. So, but let's say like, so they're definitely, they were assuming that the people that watched the previous shows definitely watched the show.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. I think so. Yeah.
All right. Well, cool.
So then we cut back to the Watchtower. We get Hawk Girl's. We should call us the Just Us League.
Yeah.
In response to, you know, Batman's an orphan. Well, I guess that doesn't actually come up in that scene. But
am I incorrect on that? Was that one of your early pitches for the name of the show?
I've
heard that somewhere else.
Something along those lines, maybe. I don't remember.
I know you wanted to call this the Justice Dweebs for quite a while.
I did. I still think it's not too late to change the name. Even though I'm wearing our sweatshirt right now.
Fair. All right.
Briefly after that, alarms start going off. A boom tube opens and out walks Darkseid. To ask for help. Of course, Superman attacks him immediately before he even has the chance to. Wonder Woman and John have to pull Superman off of him because he hit Darkseid so hard that it almost knocked the Watchtower out of orbit.
Yeah, which I think is Darkseid on the Watch. First off, I love boom tubes.
Yes.
Yes.
Darkseid on the Watchtower kind of makes me, when I saw that moment, I was like, sweet Christmas. Holy cow.
Yeah.
Like, because, you know, I see Darkseid as ginormous.
Yeah. This episode goes to 11 real quick.
Mm-hmm. Darkseid on the Watchtower, by the way, great name for a metal band.
Darkseid on the Watchtower.
Yeah, that's a free name for anyone who wants it.
Also, I want to point out.
You should tell Hans to make that.
You should.
Yeah.
Yeah. Contact him on Fiverr.
I have a phone number.
Oh, hold send on. Him a text.
I will right now.
Humble brag.
All right. Hans, what's up? You watched the new Grey's Anatomy yet? No, it was bitching.
That's a timely reference.
By the way, I need this new sound effect. Can I have it in 3 seconds? Thank you. Peace to your mother.
Wow, that's a quick turnaround.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
He's a good dude.
Yep. Yep.
I hope you're paying him what he's worth.
Yeah, $5. Fiverr. all right. But so we were talking a little bit. This is basically the start of angry Superman. This is Superman. He gets real mad. He gets real mad. You talked about going to 11. Darkseid shows up. Superman's attitude goes up. He gets real mad. And here's my theory for why he is so mad, because you have to have a big explanation for why Superman immediately turns it up to 25, because that's not who Superman is.
Yeah.
This is Superman reacting to Dan Turpin's death from Superman, the animated series, because the end of the
legacy.
The Superman animated series is that Darkseid takes control of Superman. Superman pulls a lot of shenanigans, and also Dan Turpin dies, and they make it like the big loss. Like, there's a whole funeral scene where they animated in like Alex Ross and all the people that worked on it. And it's a huge moment. And you think about it, this is the first time that Superman has seen Darkseid since that moment. And it is to just also show you, Dan Turpin's a great character, but it shows you how much Superman cares for him.
Well, and I think that's definitely a part of it. But not only that, but also he brainwashed Superman and used him like a puppet for a long time to take lives and, you know, destroy Metropolis. So he's got a lot of good reasons to be angry.
That's something that Jason didn't think they were going to explain.
Superman mentions it briefly.
You said it to me, and then Batman yelled it at Superman like 12 seconds after you said it to me.
I don't think they say Dan Turpin, but they mention
a friend dies or something.
They
like
mention
that.
The mind control is what Batman mentions.
To be fair, Batman might not necessarily realize the close relationship that Superman had with Dan Turpin.
Yeah.
You know,
Jeremy, is this time for your clip, my friend?
Yes, absolutely. Play it.
You're lying. I destroyed him.
Apparently, he is harder to kill than you realized. You know his pattern, Kal-El. Once he's finished siphoning the memory banks and technology of my planet,
he'll annihilate it.
Good.
Superman.
You can't mean.
You may not care what happens to me or my world, but know this. If Brainiac isn't stopped, countless millions more will perish. Think about it.
Did you want to hear the whole thing, Jeremy?
My clip didn't even start until after that one was over. I wanted to hear the Cry Me a River part. Batman's yelling at Superman.
Oh, I have no idea where that is. I don't have that time.
Sorry, that's the one that's at 9:06.
Sure. All right. Yep. We're right here. All right. Here we go. Sorry, everybody.
You don't know Darkseid like I do.
We know he used you, humiliated you, brainwashed you, wound you up like a tin soldier, and turned you loose against Earth. Cry me a river.
Cry me a river is a statement that we don't usually hear anymore.
No, not really. And there's some weird phrases in this episode, too, now that you mention it. Hot girl says, what the devil at one point?
I think it's interesting.
Maybe not a weird phrase, but it's something you don't necessarily hear that often.
I think it's interesting that they went with the abbreviated version of the Cry Me a River.
Cry Me a River.
What do you mean the abbreviated version?
Oh, maybe this is just a nasty thing from where I grew up. But we used to say, Cry Me a River, build me a bridge, and do me a favor, jump off.
Oh, wow.
So I was always like, you said Cry Me a River when you didn't want to like be that nasty to some, like, or your parents were around or something.
Oh, wow. No, I never heard that.
Maybe things are just like ugly.
I thought y'all were polite.
No, we're better at hiding our badness. That's the real truth of it.
I've never been good at hiding my badness, I guess.
Well, you're American.
And a Scorpio, so.
And he does that just for you listeners.
That's what you're here for, right? No, probably not. All right, Batman, really, he goes on for a while after that. And basically, you know, on the off chance that Darkseid isn't lying, they do need to stop Brainiac. So he convinces him to do it, but Superman says that he needs a favor from him. And then we will discover later on that Batman and Wonder Woman go on a side mission for Superman. But before that happens, we cut back to Apocalypse. Brainiac and Darkseid are fighting. Darkseid gets word that the League have agreed to help him. And then they get Boom Tube directly into the fight. And Superman and Hot Girl go to town.
So let's talk about Well, one, I want to talk about, you know, Brainiac kicking old poor Kalibak. That's just mean. That ugly beast boy needs a break. He gets crap from his father, and now he's getting crap from a robot. What's the deal?
No fun being Kalibak.
It's, you know, he has a mighty, cool mace.
Your birthright is some like hoity-toity city in the clouds thing, right? And you get traded away when you're a baby, and it's totally beyond your control. And then your dad is Darkseid. Like, that's just lame. Any way you slice it, that sucks. I genuinely feel bad for Kalibak.
Well, Kalibak didn't get traded, my friend. That was Orion and Mr. Miracle.
I thought it was Kalibak for Orion.
No. It's actually it's Scott Free, Mr. Miracle, and Orion, because Orion's the son of Darkseid, and Scott Free, Mr. Miracle, is the son of Highfather, and they trade babies. So
now, why does Kalibak look like Highfather?
Bad animation, but
I always thought that was the swap.
No, the idea is that Kalibak is the bastard son of Darkseid, and Orion is like the pure son of Darkseid.
I never knew that.
Yep, and because Kalibak he's half some alien DC species,
which is why he kind of looks like a dog.
Yes, yes, and because there's that. There are other half Darkseid. There are other Darkseid illegitimate babies out there. Grail, I think, is one of them.
Yes,
New 52.
Yeah, she's the girl.
Graven he's Kyle Rayner's villain, who is, that's a great story, is created by Ron Mars. There's a bunch of, and then there's another daughter, I think, as well.
I think so too.
And so Kalibak, he's the unclean son, as Darkseid.
It's your Edgar Edmund from Lear.
But Orion is like the true heir to the throne, but Orion is with Highfather now. That's why Mr. Miracle got so good at escaping, because he escaped Apocalypse.
See, I learned something today.
Yeah, the fourth world is cool. I love the fourth world. And I know Bruce Timm, Carl's Jr.'s favorite son, loves the fourth world as well. So, Bruce, if you're ever, at the Carl's Jr., in Burbank, on Hollywood Way, and you want a milkshake and just want to chill out, let me know. I'm around.
Right on.
All right.
Maybe you like the fourth world enough where you can convince me by the end of this episode that it's cool.
the sad thing about it is there aren't many great fourth world books. I know. It's another one of these concepts that are so cool, and I don't know if it's ever been executed amazingly.
Yeah. Like, it seems like it should be cool.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Speaking of the fourth world, though, so we cut to Wonder Woman and Batman coming out of a boom tube. On New Genesis, and this is where Batman's canonical dislike of boom tubes is established in this moment.
Oh, because that's why, because he does this wonky, like, whoa. I love that, because I thought, I was like, oh, this is great that the one person without superpowers kind of feels sick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, it's like the gag from the Arrowverse that where Diggle always throws up when Barry carries him. I thought that was so clever that he just goes, you know.
Yeah, it's a good running gag.
It is a great, great running gag. Interesting. So every time Batman goes through a boom tube from now on, he's like, ugh.
Well, it's not so much that, but in the episode of Batman Beyond, The Call, which is kind of the backdoor pilot for the Justice League, kind of in a weird way, they use boom tubes in it, and Batman's like, I never liked boom tubes. Mm. And then this is where that actually happens for the first time. He uses one.
That's really cool. I like that. That's so awesome.
That's, again, a little bit more of them leaning into their own continuity.
Well, speaking of their own continuity and the continuity of the fourth world, we got to talk about Forager Bug showing up.
Oh, he's so cute.
I love Bug in the New Genesis. And anybody out there, if you haven't read Bug by Mike Allred, it was a young animal book, I think, for a couple years back. It's great. It's really good. And Bug Forager is the lead character.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he shows up to save Wonder Woman and Batman from a giant worm monster. Yes. This is where Wonder Woman's lasso fails, as we mentioned earlier. Mm.
It's because it doesn't have enough spice.
Yeah, it hasn't been activated yet.
No, so. Not by the Fremen, no.
No.
I was like, what kind of spice?
Melange.
Paprika?
Paprika.
Here, I'll say it like Scarlet Witch, paprikash.
That was pretty good.
Thank you.
There is a really funny line in this where Batman goes, I'm going to need a longer grapple.
Yeah, Batman's got one-liners in this.
This might be the best Batman joke of all time. I think it's really funny.
Yeah.
I mean, the best Batman joke in terms of the animated series. Excuse me.
Yeah. He's not a very jokey character.
No.
No, because the best joke in all of Batman, the animated series, is draw you a bath.
And that's
an Alfred joke.
Yeah. you know, so I know they meet Orion, of course. We get I love Orion as well. He's one of my favorite DC characters. And we go back to Apocalypse. Superman. Oh,
hang on.
What?
We skipped something, though.
Okay.
So before they get to Orion, they fly up to the city.
Oh, that's correct. Yes.
And
Light Ray comes by.
Yes.
And buzzes them. And then he slaps Wonder Woman on the ass.
This is the moment. Now, I remember we were talking about this either on the podcast or before the podcast, where Ashley was like, there is some moment of sexual abuse, Jason, that you commented on when it happened. And I was like, yes, there it is. It was right there. And I could not believe they put that in this episode.
They do not show it, but you hear the sound effect, and it's clear as day what happened.
Yes. Clear as day. There's
it's pretty gross.
Yeah.
She should have literally put him through a building.
She's like, he's worse than the Flash. And like, yeah. He is, by a hot mile. The Flash is gross, too, but he hasn't actively committed sexual assault on anybody.
That's
in this
show
so far.
Yeah.
So, the New Gods are kind of jerks. A little bit.
They are. It's because they're gods.
I'm going to have another example in the next episode about it.
I'll make a sound effect for that.
I can't wait to hear it.
But I wanted to go back. So when we go to Apocalypse, there's like, you know, we're fighting on the side of Darkseid. And Darkseid calling Superman an idiot is pretty amazing. There's a lot of moments like, you idiot. and, you know, we get to the moment where they're all going up to fight on Darkseid, Brainiac's shield. And the plan is Superman is just going to hold it open while he just takes a whole blast of Brainiac energy. And they're going to sneak a missile through. That's the plan.
It's literally like the Spock plan in Wrath of Khan. It's like, I'll die so you don't have to die.
it doesn't logistically make any sense to me. And these are gods.
Yeah. Well, there is kind of a reason why it maybe doesn't make sense that we will get to later without spoiling the second episode, I suppose.
Oh, yes.
So we can come back to that. But in the beginning of this scene, though, I do want to point something out.
Mm-hmm.
So Brainiac, the last Superman with electricity ray, right through the thing, and Superman flies straight through it. Superman is much more powerful starting now. They have de-nerfed Superman, and this is a good early indication.
Nerf factor. Reverse factor.
They talk about it on the commentary. It is a conscious decision that they made. They feel like they got knocked a lot in the first season. They said people called him Super Wimp.
So this is the attempt to power him up.
Yes. So
interesting.
We saw him get taken down by electricity like 9 or 11 times in the first season.
And in his own series, he's taken out by this beam.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. But he flies straight through it. This time he gets electrocuted a lot over the course of these episodes, but it never incapacitates him like it used to. He fights through it every time.
Yes. And then, you know, and then basically, this is pretty much the end of the episode, basically, because the Brainiac ship takes off and the Justice League chases it into the asteroid belt. And then we see that there is a large asteroid that looks like Brainiac, and it throws a tractor beam on the Javelin and it drags it in. It's a giant Brainiac skull. That's kind of basically the end of the episode.
It's kind of the best Brainiac skull ship ever. It's my favorite one of them.
Well, yeah, I guess it's supposed because they don't. Oh, I didn't realize that it was his skull ship. I just thought it was an asteroid that he had built.
I think it is, but I just mean he's had multiple skull shaped ships over the years in comics. And this is my favorite ship of his.
All right. Cool. All right. So I think that's enough of this talking about the episode, kids. I think we're going to get into the cliffhanger corner. Jeremy, what's that?
This is where we rate the cliffhanger basically on a scale of good to bad.
Yes or no? So
yes or no. Pretty flat.
Ashley,
mm.
What do you think about the cliffhanger of this episode? Is it a good cliffhanger or a bad cliffhanger?
It's a good cliffhanger. Yes. Hard. Yes.
Why?
Because any cliffhanger that's basically in the middle of a battle is a pretty good time.
Jeremy, is this a good cliffhanger or a bad cliffhanger?
This one doesn't do it for me. In fact, I wrote in my notes, is there a word for this type of cliffhanger that doesn't really, it doesn't up the stakes at all? Like we kind of already know what we're dealing with. Like, we maybe don't realize the scale of it, but like, we sort of realize it at the same time that they do, but it hasn't made the situation that much worse. You know, we were kind of logistically heading towards, like, Brainiac was going somewhere for a reason, you know. It's interesting. And like I said, I love the ship. I love that shot, the reveal of it, but it's not particularly, it's not leaving me hanging off of a cliff. And I wonder how much of this season is going to be that way, knowing that the episodes are airing back to back and not having to wait a week in between. I'll be interested to look at it through that lens as we do this season.
That's an interesting point. I had not considered that they might lower the stakes a bit because they know you're immediately going to see the next thing.
Yeah. They didn't even.
That's a really good point, Jeremy. I'd never thought about that.
They didn't even air the credits on the part ones of these episodes.
Really?
The credits for these are the same in part one and part two. They would put the entire cast for both episodes in the part two and air them that way.
Wow.
Yeah.
I agree. I kind of agree with Jeremy. I don't think this is a great cliffhanger because I think you nailed it, Jeremy. It's that Brainiac. We already know it's Brainiac. So the fact that it's Brainiac's ship, I don't think is surprising. So yeah. That's where I'm going to go with as a no as well. All right, everybody. The next episode we'll be covering is Twilight Part 2. Pretty obviously, but it's all good. And if you want to leave us questions for the next episode, be on a lookout on for a post asking us for questions at patreon.com/Jawin. And Jeremy, where can they find you? Oh, sorry, Ashley, let's start with you, actually. Jeremy, we talked to you enough. Ashley, where can they find you on the social medias if they don't know already? They should know, but just in case.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram and now TikTok. Ashley B. Robinson, come hang out with me on TikTok. I don't understand it.
Jeremy, where can I find you?
Same here. I don't understand TikTok. I have one, but I don't even remember what my username is. I just get on it once a week. So the quickest way to find me is on Venmo at Jeremy-Skinner-8. I will absolutely see that immediately and reply to your payment with a comment.
Wow. All right.
I'm moving. It's expensive.
That's right.
Jeremy for all this good work.
Yes.
I'm kidding. Don't send me money. I just thought that was a funny bet.
Yeah.
But you send him money.
My name is Jeremy-Skinner-8 for the record.
No, please. Also, listeners, you can find me, you know, everywhere around the internet on Instagram and Twitter at Jawin and all my books at jasonimmon.com. Because this is Jeremy's movie. It's a very busy month for him. And I'm actually...
Yes, I was trying to set up a segue. That's what I was doing.
I didn't catch on. I'm sorry. And Jeremy's moving. I'm writing a script. Ashley's starring in a play. We're all kind of busy. So this will be the only episode of Jeremy and Jason, John, about Justice League that you see this month. So it'll be this part one in this month and then part two in the next month. So yeah,
if the show doesn't have a good cliffhanger, at least this episode will.
Don't up the bar.
Sorry, I'm writing checks. I can't cash necessarily.
That is right. That is very very correct. So listeners, you know, hope you go back and listen to some of the older episodes. Go check them out. Go check out Geek History Lesson. Go check out some of the other podcasts over at patreon.com/Jawin. There's plenty of content. I guarantee you, you haven't listened to them all.
And also, don't forget to tell us what type of birds we are.
Yes, that's right.
And then also let us know your history with Justice League in regards to, have you already watched this show or are you doing it for the first time with us? I am very interested to hear that from you as well.
But I'm pretty certain the bird question is probably going to take you a month. It's going to take all of you listeners a month.
Do some research. Like, again, find a pretty one.
Yeah, I need one with a lot of feathers.
Like, don't make me a bird that's going to make me feel bad about myself. That's all I ask.
Yeah, I want a bird that can definitely kill a lion.
Ooh, yeah. You know what? Can I just pick ostrich right now?
I'm like, do I make a joke about putting your head in the sand?
Oh, man.
Oh.
me to the quick. That was good. She's got banter, y'all.
And she does it for the listeners. All right.
Look, I'm the only one not getting paid.
All right.
Yeah, send those emails to jasonandjeremypod@gmail.com.
There you go. All right, everybody. This is it. I'm going to give a wink to Ashley to hopefully signal that something is coming up and she should use her active listening improv skills. Everybody, thank you so much for listening to this podcast. Man, we're at season two. It's a great time. I'm Jason.
And I'm Jeremy.
I was trying to do your sound effect. I know. And I'm Ashley.
Hold on, guys. I'm sorry. I hate to do this. I'm sorry. Jeremy and Ashley, I'm going to need you just to step out of the podcast just for a second. Just take a step out of the podcast just for a second. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. All right. Guys, I need you to step out of the podcast, please. Please.
No, we're over here. We're talking about something.
Yeah. Talk about olives or something. Okay. Okay. They're gone.
I dislike olives.
Me too. They're gross.
Yes. Who are they for?
People who understand somehow what tapenade is?
That's not me.
Hey, I'm trying to have this. Hold on,
sorry.
Hold on.
Sorry.
All right. I'm sorry they hurt your feelings, Whoosh. I'm sorry. Don't let it bother you. No, you can Whoosh with the best of them. I know you can, okay? You got this. Yeah, I knew your Whoosh father. I knew him. Yeah. He'd be proud of you. Yeah, he'd be proud. Don't worry about it. Okay, you got it. Why don't you give them a big Whoosh when they come out? Okay. All right, guys, you can come back. All right.
Oh, hi, we're back.
Hi. Oh, wow. Hi, Whoosh. You sound great today.
You did it. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to Jason and Jeremy, John about Justice League. I'm Jason.
And I'm Jeremy.
And I know my cue.
And we have jawed enough about Justice League.